The Bible reads, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know, one thing's for sure that I'm pretty darn positive is these people right here thought that they had saving faith. They thought they were going to heaven. But then when they found out, then obviously we see what happened. They asked these questions out of surprise, kind of. What I want to talk about today is the many people that think that they have saving faith that and they don't, and how that we can better analyze them to see if they actually have true, you know, biblical saving faith. But today, the title, I'm going to title it, is Saving Faith in Jesus, What It Is and What It Isn't. So you can turn over to Romans 10. So I want to talk about first, I want to talk about a few points on what saving faith is. And then I want to talk about, after those few points, what saving faith is not. So you're there in Romans 10. Hold your place there. First of all, saving faith is believing the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You're there in Romans 10. Look at verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Turn over to Acts 16. So the gospel is what saves us only if we have faith in it. So that's the first thing that saving faith is. It is believing the gospel of Christ. You're there in Acts 16. Hold your place there. The second thing that saving faith is saving faith is believing Jesus is God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, 4 reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And you're there in Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 31 tells us that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord in order to be saved. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Turn over to 1 John 5. So the second thing that saving faith is believing Jesus is God and believing he is Lord. That's one and the same. You're there in 1 John 5. Hold your place there. The third thing that saving faith is believing in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Verse 3 reads, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, the fourth thing I want to cover, and I'm sure there's more things I can cover, but this is the last thing I want to cover real quick for what saving faith is saving faith is believing that God gives us eternal life. You're there in 1 John 5. Look at verse 10. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." So someone gets the witness and has it inside of him only if he believes in the Son of God. Then it says, "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." You know, obviously they're not going to have the witness. And then it says, "Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So they're not saved. They don't have saving faith because they deny the record. And part of the record in verse 11 is, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son." Turn over to Hebrews 6, Hebrews chapter number 6. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean, that what saving faith is? Here's what all this means. If someone at the door says, "Hey, I believe in Jesus," or "I have saving faith," they don't if they believe in another gospel, like denying that you have to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter if they say that they have faith in Jesus Christ. They just don't if they're denying that you have to call upon the name of the Lord or believing some other gospel. It also means that, hey, if they think they have saving faith, they don't if they believe in other gods. You know, a lot of other religions say, "Oh, we believe in Jesus too. You know, we do. We believe in Jesus." No, you don't believe in Jesus. No, you don't. You're believing in other gods. Also, if they say they have saving faith, they don't if they deny that Jesus physically resurrected. That's the JWs for you right there. They'll say that they believe in Jesus and stuff like that, but they don't. Lastly, real quick, hold your place in Hebrews 6. But lastly, another thing that this could mean, all of what saving faith is could mean, is that you don't have saving faith if you deny that God gives us a never-ending ticket to heaven. Why? Because you're denying the record that God gave of his son. But you're there in, I believe I told you, Hebrews 6. Hold your place there. Now I want to cover what saving faith is not. This is what saving faith is not. Number one, saving faith is not repenting of sin. And I want to kind of cover this in a different way because there's so many different ways you can cover it. I don't think I've ever covered it this way. But hold your place in Hebrews 6. But what you know what's funny? There's a few verses in the Bible that mentions repentance, repenting, or repent with faith or belief or whatnot. And what's funny is only one of those verses that I know of, I'm sure that there might be another one maybe, but there's one that I know of that actually it tells us what we have to repent of or repent from. And it's funny how people will look at all the verses that say repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, like in Acts 20, 21. Or in Mark 1, it'll say, repent ye and believe the gospel. And they'll say, there, you got to repent of your sins. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know, and just so you know, the Bible actually clarifies. In Hebrews 6, 1, you can look down. Hebrews 6, 1, it actually clarifies, because God knew that this would happen, right? Clarifies what we need to repent from. It says, therefore, leaving the principalities of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And if you just use logic and you think about it, what's dead faith? Faith without works. So what's dead works? It means it's missing faith. So all that God is literally telling us, you can turn to Galatians 5. All that God is literally, and it's so simple, all that God is saying when he says repent and believe the gospel is you need to get faith. That's it. But people don't like how simple that really is. And repentance is not complicated, but that kind of shows, comparing those verses, you can see where God clarifies that he's just telling us that we need to go from not believing in Jesus Christ and put our faith in him. But you're there in Galatians 5. The second thing that saving faith is not, is saving faith is not adding something to your justification other than Jesus. Look at verse 3 of Galatians 5. It says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, and whosoever of you are justified by the law. Obviously, it's not saying everyone that's ever been circumcised is not going to go to heaven. It's obviously not what it's saying. What it's saying is when you add that to your justification, like that's a requirement for your justification, then Christ had no effect on you. So if someone at the door is adding something to faith and calling upon the name of the Lord, they don't have saving faith. They don't. That's not saving faith. It's not. Christ hath no effect on them. Turn over to John chapter number 6. John 6. The third thing that saving faith, I'm just about done here. It's a little longer tip. John chapter number 6. The third and last thing I want to cover that saving faith is not, is saving faith is not fulfilling every will of God. Fulfilling every will of God. Matthew 7 reads, hold your place in John 6. Matthew 7, 21 reads, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So people will take this verse and teach sinless perfectionism and say that you have to obey the will of the Father. And if you don't, then you're not going to be saved. Obviously, that's not true. And I'm not even going to spend time to debunk that because that's so obvious. The Bible teaches we're sinners and that we will always be sinners while we're on earth. So that's obviously not true. But what I want to kind of talk about, though, is that there's this other end of the spectrum that they'll take that verse and they'll say, oh, well, no, you know, you don't have to be fully in the will of the Father to be saved, but you got to be willing to be fully in the will of the Father. You got to be willing to fully quit your sins. You better be willing to submit to him or better be willing to surrender to him or however you want to say it. They say it a million different ways. And it's like, wait a minute. So why would God make us not make us do something and say, hey, you don't have to do this, but you have to be willing to do that. So why would I have to be willing to do something I don't have to do? It doesn't make any sense. And on top of that, why would he make us have to be willing to do something we can't do? It's not logical. And if that logic isn't proof enough for someone at the door, you can turn over to John 6 and look at verse 40. God clarifies. God always has verses that clarify. It says, and this is the will of him that sent me. That's the will of the Father. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So simply the only will that God has is that you believe on Jesus Christ, and you'll have everlasting life. And so all this means, what saving faith is not, is that if someone thinks they have saving faith, but they're connecting the law in some way to getting saved, like saying that you have to obey the law or quit sin, or you got to be willing to obey the law, which is the same thing as saying you have to be willing to turn from your sins, they don't have saving faith. That's not saving faith. They're like the Galatians 5 people. They're adding something else to their justification. Lastly, if someone thinks they have saving faith, they don't. If the only way they derive their assurance of salvation is not Jesus and what he already did. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Matthew 7 is a perfect example of that. People find out they're not going to heaven. Then they're like, wait, have I not all done all this? So where they got their confidence that they're going to heaven was based off their works. That's a good example. But I'll give you a real life example of somebody in my life. My old pastor's dad literally said this. The pastor said it too. But he literally said that the only way that I could know that I'm saved once I get saved, the only way that I can be like 100% sure I'm saved, is if I see a change in my life. Meaning like you can't know you're saved when you get saved. You know what I'm saying? So literally what he was deriving his assurance of salvation and his confidence of salvation from was what happens in his life, him quitting his sin, him cleaning up his life. And it's like your reliance, your confidence is not on Jesus when you're saying that. It's just simply not. I don't care. And the point of the whole sermon is this. I don't care how Baptist they are, if they say they're Baptist or if they say they're independent Baptist or they say that they believe in Jesus, they say it's by grace through faith, like Stacey Shiflett, and they'll say this a million times, but then they'll on top of that say, well, hey, you ain't willing to surrender to God. You cannot be saved. I don't care if you believe in Jesus. You cannot be saved unless you're willing to give up that one sin that you're really struggling with right now. They do not have saving faith. That's not saving faith of the Bible. And we need to learn to interpret this and see people at the door that may say in the beginning, oh, yeah, it's through Jesus Christ. But then the next thing you know, they're like, well, you know, if somebody is like not quitting their alcohol and everything, that they're probably not surrendering or making God Lord of their life or something. That's a red flag. They're saying stuff like that. But I hope this helps us as soul winners. I actually wrote this for last night, but I think it can apply to soul winning for sure. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time that we have to go soul winning. I pray you would fill us with your spirit and help us to discern people's hearts the best we can based off of the scriptures and how it clearly teaches what saving faith is. And keep us safe out there. And in Jesus' name, amen.